It is The Blaze. It is episode 25 on the season for Rivershore Golf Links. By the way, opening day, Rivershore Saturday. More on that in just a moment. What a show. If you're listening in podcast form, it's the extended version. If you're listening in the radio form, well, we fit just the hour-long time frame. But if you're online from your podcast provider, we go deep today. Deep with Colin Toledo Robinson. If you haven't heard, 29 years in the WHL, that will come to an end at the end of this season, which is just a little over a week away. He's our featured guest. He has a lot to say. It is a bit of an emotional roller coaster. He gets into a lot of thank yous, three different stops in the WHL. That is coming up, our feature interview here in a few minutes' time. We'll get into power play gate. Reactions on both sides from this past weekend. This set with Kelowna. We saw the top power play unit of the Rockets there, up 7-1 and 8-1 in the third period, the full 2 minutes. And we'll get, as mentioned, we'll hear from Chris Millett, his comments after that game, which was our Saturday pregame show, and also a response from Sean Clouston. That's coming up. Yeah, we had the coaches going at it on both sides. Chris Millett, Chris Murray. It's a bit of an old news story now, but we haven't had a podcast since, so we'll recap that, our first opportunity to do that. We have a lot on the go. It is episode 25 for Rivershore Golf Links. Well, you heard the opening. Rivershore Golf Links, our title sponsor. It is opening day Saturday. And boy, that was a short off season. Not sure our guest likes that or not, but Kevin Oates, the GM of Rivershore Golf Links, on the pod. Welcome back. I guess it's time to go, I guess, hey?
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for having me on, John. It is time to go. Yeah, Saturday, came pretty quick, and we're ready to go. The course is looking good. And, it'll be nice to get out there and swing some clubs for sure.
Now, you don't do temporary greens. Like, it's full systems go at this time of year, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we're going to be full systems go. The course is nice and dry, so we're going to be okay for power carts on the fairways and stuff too. So full go and pretty excited about it.
Yeah, and by the way, thanks for those golf passes for our giveaway here this week on The Blaze. Appreciate that, so thank you.
You're welcome.
I wanted to ask you, was this opening day kind of somewhat sped up on this weather where we're seeing 20, 21 degrees here in the next couple days ahead?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we always in the back of our mind know that we're going to try to open up in mid-March. So, I mean, this is, March 16th. So, I mean, it's kind of right in the middle. So, I mean, it's a very expected time of year for us to be all systems go for sure.
I'm already getting like first hole anxiety thinking about this. Like, I'm thinking about like the white stakes on the left on the drive up, and like the range on the left side here. Like, that's too early to be thinking about this, isn't it?
Way too early. Yeah, no, you just need to get over that and just kind of, aim a little bit to the right. There's lots of room over there. You'll be fine.
Okay, yeah, there is. But you can get that sort of that fescue over there if you get it out too far to the right.
Yep, not yet, though. The fescue hasn't grown in yet.
Oh, okay,
now,
that's
now's the time.
Nice.
Yeah, blow it way over to the right. You'll be fine.
All right, we have the zone already locked in place there. I might as well just walk out 230 yards and drop my ball right there in the fescue. I think that sounds like a plan.
Perfect.
Yeah. I know the season's winding down. So is another season of The Blaze here. But I know you wear a couple of hats, including as a Blazer billet. So you're about to have your house maybe freed up a little bit more here in the coming weeks.
Yeah, that's the sad part of this time of year for sure. Yeah, seeing the billets go back home. And it's been a great year billet-wise for us. I mean, we ended up with two at the end of the season here. And it's been great having them in the house, and can't speak highly enough about the billet program and the way that the Blazers treat us, and the billets, are welcome. And we're just going to sign up again for September, and we'll enjoy the time off in between playing a lot of golf.
Well, that's great. Your Blazer supporters, your Blazer billets, and you have the podcast here, title sponsor, in year one. Appreciate everything you do, Kevin, for the podcast, for the Blazers, and for the golf community. And I guess we'll be getting out there on the course here a few times here ahead in the next few weeks, I hope.
Absolutely. Your invite is open for the day after the season's over. Yeah, come on out. We'll play golf. It's just what it'll be there for you.
It's the opener for Bry's Automotive and Customs, and they specialize in car and pickup truck repairs, restorations. Danny and Kevin, I saw them at the Canucks game Wednesday. They were taking in the Canucks and Avalanche, so I didn't see them personally. I just saw it on social media. Also had some Danny merchandise pass my way, so I have the hat at home, so thank you to Danny. It's Bry's Automotive and Customs, over 60 years of automotive knowledge in Kamloops on the North Shore. Let's get into what happened this past weekend. Again, bit of old news, but we haven't had a podcast since it was last Friday, Saturday. Friday night, Kelowna's up pretty big on home ice. It was 5-0 to start the third period. They would run that even deeper. And we noticed the top power play unit going out at 7-1. We noticed them going out at 8-1, not just to take a, you know, take a 45 to a second to a minute long shift. No, they were out there the entire full minutes. And the move in that stage of a game, in sort of the game within a game, is a middle finger to the opposite team. I guess that's a good way to equate it, right? It's a middle finger, maybe not so much to the team, but probably to, you know, the coaches on the other side. That led to the benches getting involved. Chris Murray, Chris Millett, they had a conversation. Not the first time they've chatted. There were some accusations thrown out from there. It was a night on Friday in Kelowna. Saturday, again, as I always do, I speak to both teams, if not both coaches, a player and a coach. And we've been doing that, well, I've been doing that for as long as I can remember. We take both sides. We hear from both. I have a half an hour pregame show, had it in Swift Current, have it here in Kamloops. So we like to see what's cooking on both sides, hear from both teams. So as I often do, I walk over to the Rocket side and track down Chris Millett, their head coach. And I told him going in, I said, hey, we're going to get into what happened last night. I don't want to catch you off guard with this. We'll just get right into it. No soft shoeing around it. And he was willing and had some things to say as well. So that's where it went. I said, hey, no false pretenses. This is where I'm going to this. And we'll just get your take on what happened last night. So let's hear that back and forth for those that missed our pregame show.
Chris, we'll just get right into the end of the game last night before we talk about tonight's matchup here. Let's talk about, first of all, about the power play deployment. I know there was some talk about in the post-game show last night on the Kelowna side that maybe that was a bit of tit-for-tat, or that the Blazers had, you know, put some top players out maybe in seasons past or last year. Just your reaction to getting those top guys out there late in the game.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I won't go any further into it, but Sean knows exactly why I did that. Everybody in the league knows exactly why I did that, and I could honestly say that I'd never do it to another team.
So, did you get it out of your system last night?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, it is what it is. These guys in our room have seen a lot of Logan Stankoven, a lot of some real top players in some games, and you know what? We'll see where tonight brings us.
That said, you know, there was a game referenced in March. There was a home-and-home set last year where the two teams had a home-and-home, and the Blazers won both. Late in the game, Ryan Michael, power play goal, his second in the career. Förster and Van Olm, sort of like a power play three out there. So they have, at times, taken their foot off the gas.
Yeah, but those guys always go back out on the ice. They're always out there every single power play. Doesn't matter when it is in the game, what the score is. Look at the Memorial Cup, same thing, everything. They're always out there.
Okay, let's talk about the two coaches getting together, yourself and Chris Murray. Mm-hmm. It's not the first time that's happened. We chatted about that earlier. What sort of precipitated that between the glass?
Coach is coach. It's his bottom line. Coach is coach. Players play. There's no need to talk to anybody while you're out on the ice, and that seems to be the common theme whenever him and I get into it.
That said, the Blazers in our pregame show deny there was any sort of back and forth from a coach to a player. I guess we'll take each other's word for it here. So when you look at last night's game and how it ended, safe to say you kind of carried some animosity over this season, maybe from years past, Chris. Is that a fair statement?
No, I don't think it is at all.
Okay, so I would say, listening back to that now here, 6 days later, there definitely was some pent-up animosity. That's hard to deny. Blazers have, you know, had an edge in the season series and the head-to-head meetings over the years. And again, Chris was emotional. Is that the best term, emotional or just outspoken maybe? But I think he's speaking from an organizational standpoint on some of the past meetings over the last number of years. But hey, you know what? I thank him for being candid, you know, giving us something to talk about. It didn't shy away fans talking about it. We, you know, rehash it a little bit on this podcast. It's not always the case where you get, you know, something to dive into. But on the other side, talk to Sean Clouston about the end of the game Friday, and he addressed it from their perspective.
End of the game, late power play chances. They were riding the first unit, not only starting them, but playing them for the full 2 minutes. And there were some comments in their post-game show on the Rockets broadcast that it was, you know, tit for tat, that, you know, that you ran up the score a couple of times in them last year around the same time in a home-and-home here. Any reaction to that?
You know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, things change, stuff come, you know, what comes around goes around, I guess. You know, our recollection is completely different. You know, I think the game that they were talking about, we scored two third period goals. One was shorthanded, and Ryan Michael scored his first ever power play goal, his second career goal. So, you know, that was, you know, our young guys getting an opportunity when the game was out of hand.
So there you have it. Season series over. Each team wins four games. Each team wins twice at home, twice on the road. And will there be any carryover? Well, it's going to be a while before these two teams face off again. Months. You're talking about at the earliest, like October, but you know, I don't think it'll be an October meeting, probably later in the season. So again, you look at the circumstances, not many Blazers from last year's team are on this year's team. You know, this is a squad of basically 16 and 17 year olds, and there'll be graduation of players, coaches change year to year, managers change. So we'll see, you know, where it picks up from there, but definitely a lot to talk about from the weekend. Also, Logan Edmonstone, goaltender of the future, perhaps 16-year-old, played really well Saturday night. Didn't get the win. That shorthanded miscue turned out to be the winning goal with about 4 minutes to go, but, you know, he was a third star, looked good in there, didn't he? Yeah, he made 36 saves, and that was a real bright spot. And then there's the Hudson Claussen story, who we were looking forward to here in the podcast, making his Blazer debut. It didn't happen due to a suspension picked up earlier in the week with his OHA team in the CSSHL. So that carried over to the WHL. He was all set to play, made the track. I said, hey, have a good one tonight. And that suspension also held up in the WHL. So we hope to see Hudson Claussen here at some point in the final five games of the season. Lots to discuss in the opener today. It's for Bry's Automotive and Customs. Okay, it's feature interview time. And this is a lengthy one if you're listening in podcast format. It's for Hydra Power Wash. Hydra Power Wash mobile pressure washing services, and they specialize in heavy equipment, fleet washing, exterior window cleaning, full exterior house washes. I saw the temperatures next week over 20 degrees in Kamloops. So you can bet that that little internal clock in your head for spring cleaning goes off. Full exterior house wash. They are Hydra Power Wash. Text Christopher, 250-851-1072, to discuss your washing needs. Find them on Facebook and Instagram. And a nice parlay, by the way, for Christopher. He posted his parlay that he put together, like five-legger that he won. I was looking at like the bet amount now. It was like $5.68 or something. That leads me to believe that was like the final $5 in the guy's online account, and it was like a shot in the dark, and it paid off for him. Let's get into this now. Colin Toledo Robinson. He gets reminiscent and emotional, as you'd expect, through 29 years in the league. One person that he did not mention, because after the interview he said if I would have mentioned him, the interview probably wouldn't be able to continue because he would have been a wreck, and that was his brother, Terry Robinson, in Red Deer. He's been around the team a little bit. So Colin wanted to give a shout out to his brother, and then we got into our interview. Toledo, I don't know where to begin this today. it's tough to cover off 29 years in an hour long podcast here. I'll just start with what your mind is like, how you're feeling. This is, you know, a big change is about to transpire for you. So how are you feeling?
Yeah, absolutely, big change, but it's just time. That's what I keep telling people. It's just time. I feel good. I'm very happy with my decision and where I'm at, and I'm really content with it. And I'm so thankful to the Western Hockey League for everything. It's just been an amazing, amazing ride. But it's time to start writing a new book, as I like to say. Even though I'm average at spelling, I still like to use that line. But no, I'm at peace. I'm ready. I'm happy. And I'm also very thankful for everything.
I think you might have known that this was coming or this would be your last year. Have you had a chance to sort of, you know, take a deep breath and look around a little bit? Or is that something, you know, nuts that you haven't been able to do?
You know, maybe a little bit for sure. Would be a lie if I said I hadn't. But overall, I just want to finish like I started and enjoy every day as much as I can in the dressing room and around the guys, and enjoy the environment and the rinks and stuff like that. So, you know, it just feels the same, to be honest. You know, like I'm sure Friday night at the end of that game might get me a little bit, but overall, I'm just ready.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. 29 years at it here as a dual role for many of those years with the athletic therapist and the equipment side of it. Of the 29 years, how many years were you sort of in that dual capacity?
Well, really, you know, last season was the first time that I had Morris Boyer around. And,
yeah,
and
yeah.
So that was the first time. Otherwise, I'd been by myself the whole time, the whole way. So one of the last pioneers. There's two guys that are still basically doing that in the league, and kudos to them. I don't know how they do it. It's interesting. It's been a great change that way, and that's not anything to do with my decision at all. I absolutely loved working with Mo, and I really, really like working with young Rebecca. She's a very talented therapist, and she's been a ton of fun to work with. It's just time for a change for me.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think back to – we have sort of a similar paths, I guess. We were both in Swift Current. That was your first – Western yeah. Hockey League job?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so what do you remember most about that place and that community?
Well, Swift Current, life makes sense there, John.
Yes, right. That's right. cost them $50,000, but it's a pretty good slogan.
Swift Current is a special place. You know, Tracy and I, my wife, we went there together and brought her from the Lower Mainland out to Saskatchewan for the first time ever. It was a big adjustment, and we were just engaged at that time, and we raised our two first children there, and you know, Haley was born in Swift Current Old Hospital there, and I just remember how unbelievable the people are there.
Yeah.
They're so opening and so loving and caring, and I don't know if they still do it, but back when I started, I remember a knock at my door one day, and it was about 9:30 at night, and we were getting ready to settle in for the evening, and I'm like, who's that? And she's like, I don't know, go answer the door. So I go and I open up the door, and there's a potato sack on our doorstep.
Okay.
And I'm a little bit nervous. As you know, I don't like rodents and snakes. So I was like, what in the heck is going on here? And it was a bunch of steaks and hamburgers and stuff like that. Yeah. Somebody had just dropped off at the door for no apparent reason. I don't know if they got, I was thinking DoorDash maybe started in 95.
DoorDash.
But you know, and that kind of kept happening. And then as I was there longer, I realized that there's a family named the Thorings that owned a ranch, and they would do that a little bit. And then Dr. Risky Ibrahim, who you know very well, he was the team doctor, an unbelievable man, and such a mentor to me just in life. And he and his family owned Treen's Meat Packing Plant, and he would do that. So it started to happen, you know, at Christmas every year, things like that. So that's Swift Current in a nutshell. The other thing I remember, and I tell this to everyone, is like, you know, players come there and a guy might get traded from Portland to Swift Current. And they're like, that's a big change,
big
right?
Time. Yeah,
big time. But the players in Swift Current have to make Swift Current special. And I think that's what makes Swift Current so special. You know, you don't have as many opportunities to go do things. There's no Apex Park there. There's just not a lot there mm-hmm. other than creating your own fun.
What's and the Cinema Twin? Is that
the Cinema Twin? Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? We had free movies there, right? So that was huge. But guys did all kinds of things. And they just made their own fun. They would take we had these little bus mats and they would take them and go tobogganing, things like that, which today we would totally frown upon because of injury and things like that. Yeah, but back then it was just different. And they just had fun. And I remember those players that would get traded there or that would come in 2 months would be like, this place is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. I think you said it best where the players and the organization has to make it special because it's unique. It's very unique. And those are some of the first, I always say like the first 4 or 5 years of the WHL is like the best part too. Like it's new cities. And I want to say that you were in Swift and that was your first World Junior opportunity, right? Like you went halfway around the world very young in your career too.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. I was fortunate enough to do World Juniors as an assistant. And then the year that I did leave Swift and went to Vancouver is when I was the head guy for World Juniors. But like Swift Current, that's why, like it just gave me so many opportunities for World Juniors, working with a guy like Todd McClellan and Brad McEwen and Ben Weeb, who's a longtime board member, pretty respected guy in the game. These guys just embraced me and took a chance on a young guy and said, you know, here's it's your locker room, take it, go. And as they say, the rest is history, so to speak. But I my very first year in Swift Current, I just remember we were in first place. We had a really good team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm 22 years old. And
a couple of years older than the overagers.
Absolutely. And Tom McClellan calls me up to his office. So I go up there. I'm a little bit nervous, kind of like, why does he want to talk to me? And our whole staff got selected because we were in first and whatnot to go and work the All-Star game in Regina year.
Yeah.
And so, like, here I am, first year in the league, and I'm working the All-Star game, which was really, really cool. And a big packed house there, and that was a really cool first experience. And again, that's just because I was in Swift and with people that gave me a chance and believed in me.
You know, we'll go from place to place here in a second, but that got me thinking. I know you did a interview with Regan Bartel. So he was your first radio guy, as you call. Actually, you have another name for them, but we won't go there. But let's go over all the radio guys you had. And, you know, I'll say this. You've always taken care of me. You know, like I'm probably more higher maintenance than I should be, you know, because if you're sick, your voice is affected, and that's kind of – so, okay, so it's Regan to start, right?
Yeah, Regan to start. And then we had Joey Kenward come in after Regan.
Yeah.
And then I went to Vancouver. And then Vancouver, we went through quite a few. There was a lot. We had a guy at home who I can't even remember his name, to be honest with you, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And then we had Jim Mullen. Jim Mullen was there. And we also had Westy for on Craig the road West. The yeah. first year, too. Yeah. So he would do road games.
Were you ever roommates with the radio?
I was in Swift Current.
Yeah.
With
Regan.
Regan. In Vancouver, I was started to be with the assistant coaches. And then the last radio guy I roomed with is you, big guy. You were my last roommate.
Well, we're not regular roommates.
No.
Though. Like just the odd time,
we had,
right?
We had a couple nights where we were together. And one of my favorite times, though, is we went on the Eastern trip together, you, me, and Tim O'Donovan. Mm-hmm. And I think Timmy took the cot just because we threatened him a little bit, right? And but we shared that was back in the good old days. We shared that room together. That's the trip where, if you remember, my wife sent me with a new package of underwear, and they were youth XL. So we had to go shopping in a hurry
over to the Cornwall Center or whatever.
Bailed me out on that one. So those are the radio guys. In Kamloops here, Kirk Fraser, him and I, he would be my last full-time radio guy that I roomed with all the time.
Yeah.
We became good friends during his stretch. And you replaced him, I believe, right?
Yes. Yeah. So 12 some years ago or so. Yeah. Boy, you know, you mentioned the times on the road here, and, you know, those are fun times, and we don't really talk about that stuff. Like, I think it's like, I don't want to make anybody, like, envious, I guess, but is that, when you look back 5, 10 years down the road, you'll probably say, like, boy, I miss getting into the city the night before and going for a meal. And then whether you're, you know, going to go do something with the coaching staff or just how we like to do things, just, you know, hang out in one each other's rooms and, you know, watch movies or sports highlights and have a few drinks. Like, what are you going to miss? Do you think you're going to miss that?
Oh, well, of course I will. Those are the things that you miss more than anything. Because number one, surrounded by great people. Number two, every scenario is usually a little bit different. So for sure. But I'm not going to miss coming home from Prince George on a Saturday and then the Sunday's a day off. I won't miss that. But I will miss that. I mean, I'm excited about going to Seattle here for our last overnight trip, you know, and just how that works. But, you know, it's like you said, and John, we refer to those, like in our era, those are debriefing times. And
debriefing, that's right.
Debriefing.
That's right,
yep. So that's when we like to go over everything. We'll cover football, baseball, the whole works, talk about some family things that are going on. And it's almost like a therapy session for me personally. It's just a time where you know you're with people you can trust and you know it's people that you can just vent a little bit or you can, you know, but boy, we've had some good laughs too, like always clowning around and things like that. So,
but you know, like it's not only staff, like bus drivers for years here. We call them CC, Brendan Dreger, right? Like he's a good friend of yours and
absolutely.
He was involved in everything. And, you know, there's just so many characters over the years.
CC is bar none the best bus driver I've ever been around, his whole deal. Roger's amazing as well. That takes care of us now.
Yep.
But Roger, a little bit older guy, and CC's our age, and but his
Roger just wants to go to bed. We always bug him. He's like, I give me my key, you know, give me my parking spot, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Those are some of the best bets in the Western Hockey League is when Roger might have to have a timeout. So,
long will he make it on this trip here before a meltdown?
He's a
podcast sponsor, so we should be nice to
him. Well, thank you, Roger. And if you ever need a bus, please give Thompson Valley Charters a call.
Nice. Good plug in there for sure. Coaches over the years. Boy, you've had a lot, right? And for the good and for the bad, there's been some names. Like there has been. Have you ever thought back how many different coaches you've had in the WHL?
No, I really haven't. I mean.
I bet you'd be close to 20.
Yeah, it's got to be.
20.
It's got to be. Yeah. Went through quite a bit here in my time in Kamloops. Until we got it right with Cluey here now. And, you know what? All the coaches have been good to work for. They've all treated me really well. There's always going to be a couple that stand out. I mean, obviously, Todd McClellan was a young guy in Swift Current. He was thrown into the role of head coach and GM early in his career. And then he took a chance on a young trainer. And we were just a really young staff, but we were eager. And he taught me lots, like so much. In Kamloops, the last bit here, obviously, with how good our team has been and the structure that's been put in place with Cluey has been amazing. But I really, really enjoyed my Guy Charron.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. I was going to hope you said Guy.
Yeah, Guy, you know, we still talk now and then, but, man, there are so many good Guy Charron stories. And he really came in at a time when we really needed that father figure like Guy. And he just brought stability to the team right away when he came in. So, you know, I really enjoyed Dean Evason in Vancouver. And then, of course, you know, the majority of my time's been with Don Hay. And
that's true.
And,
yeah.
You know, he's first and foremost, nobody works harder than Hazer. There's no doubt about that. You've seen how hard this guy works. And just have a ton of respect for him and what he does and what he's what he's done and accomplished in the game and in the Western Hockey League.
Guy, you made Guy laugh, right? Like I think of Guy and I just think of his French accent and laughing. Like he did a lot of laughing on the bus, on the road, maybe not so much during the games. He's a pretty intense guy during the games. But, you know, you think like we were at that ranch that one time, remember?
Shane Doan's ranch.
Shane Doan's ranch. Yeah. Halkirk, Alberta. And it was like minus 40 and he just took a tumble there. And
goodness. I thought it was a good idea to go for a little bit of a walk and get some air because it was freezing. We were supposed to do a bunch of activities and we couldn't. But we all went out and Guy hit a bit of ice and fell on a snowbank. And the snowbanks in Alberta, when the wind's blowing, get really hard. So he had some rib damage there.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, get out.
Tabernak.
SD. Yeah. He bounced up so fast. So I've never seen somebody fall, break a rib, and jump up like that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That was Guy's a great man. And it's funny. Like, I always thought, like, here's a guy coaching in the WHL that used to like play in the NHL and take a train between games, like Montreal to Toronto, like jump on the train. Like, that's just, you never hear that stuff anymore. So Saturday night, coming up will be your last game, the next Saturday, I don't know. That's going to be an emotional night, isn't it? Like, I mean, Tracy will be there, and maybe more family. Like, it could be pretty emotional.
Yeah. She better be there.
You always do something after a game. You do like a little.
Like, whether, you know, over the last little while, she's like, we've got into fostering young, less fortunate children. So she hasn't been able to come to as many games because she's busy working with these children. So so it's usually started out with her, and then, you know, now my daughter Lainey and Haley go to games. And when they're there, there's always just a little signal. It's usually right after Old Canada, and it's just good luck and be safe.
Yeah, I'm happy you have that little signal. I sometimes see you after the game. Family's like number one for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, not I think, I know that that's a lot of why I'm ready for a change. Like, I'm ready to not,
because it's a big sacrifice.
Like. Yeah, it's a grind, right? We all know that it's a grind, and I'm just ready to have more time at home. Like, obviously I'm still going to be working and I'm still going to be busy and stuff, but you know, for 10 months of the year, we go full on, and you get, you know, one day off a week, and that's okay. It's all been good, but it's just time. I mean, we're getting older, and I want to be able to, you know, just go out in October and go watch my son with the Riders and spend some more time with my oldest daughter, Haley. And Lainey's in university, and it's like, oh, my goodness, where did that time go?
So,
I'm actually looking forward to coming to a Blazer game with her. And, like, she thinks she's the general manager of the Blazers, right? Like, she breaks down every game. And I'm interested to watch a game with her and, you know, just those things that, you know, Chloe said it best to me, you know, in this business, like on a Friday and a Saturday and whatnot, when everybody's going home to put their feet up, we're driving to the rink to get ready to go for
that's
the whole
Monday.
Weekend.
That's our Monday morning. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? No regrets. Loved every second of it, but it's just time. And
yeah, like, we have friends that are going to Mexico and they're doing these winter vacations. Yeah. Like, that's just off the table for this
us.
Job.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's funny because you know what you're doing. A lot of people think, like, what are we doing this weekend? Like, what are our weekend plans? Well, for 7-8 months of the last year, like the last couple of years, 9 months of the year, we know every weekend, Friday, Saturday, like where we'll be, which is good, but it's also, it takes away from a lot too.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that you have to remember is, you know, you do get that time to make up for that in the summer and whatnot like that. And I always did that. I always made sure in the summer that I was around. I didn't, you know, after a little bit there when the kids got involved in sports, I used to play slow pitch. Tracy and I played in Swift Current on Bud's Blasters.
Yes, yeah. Bud Wall, right?
Bud Wall,
So, that's, you know what? Think back to those the Swift Current slow pitch days, and then you go to BP's after. That's the best.
Yeah, it's good times. And as children get older, our schedules get busier. And, you know, so I really did my best to dedicate to them in the off season. And, you know, a lot of times their friends would be like, oh, let's go to this, let's do that. And I'm like, no, I need the family time now. So,
yeah, you mentioned ties with the Riders, assistant equipment manager. We toured through the Rider facilities here about December, I guess it was, right? Mm-hmm. And we got some prairie roots. So, you know, we're thinking like, man, like, look at this facility, look at these offices. Like, it's NFL at that stadium.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the Riders play-by-play job recently opened up. And I always say, like, hey, like, I think you'd be great working for that organization down the road too, capacity. And for, I'm almost, I'm thinking like, you know what, maybe we could move back to Prairies and do this as sort of like, just like a pie in the sky, like, you know, dream job maybe you have when you're growing up here. But do you think you're done with sports? Like, do you think you are?
I honestly don't know. I think my favorite line with that is never say never. You know, if the opportunity with the Riders ever came along, my best friend Greg Behrens, the head athletic therapist,
exactly.
there,
yeah.
and
yeah.
my son's there, and the
and they have this snack tickle trunk with every snack you can imagine. And I saw you look at that, and I saw it too.
You just made me snort laugh on your podcast. Look at that. Yeah,
it's like this trunk with everything. It's like you open it up, and it's like, you know, when you open up like a pot of gold, and there's this blast of lead gold. That's what it was like. Who's the equipment guy there?
Gord,
yeah. yeah. He was into it, and I thought, oh boy, that's like a trainer's dream right
there. Yeah, yeah. No, they do it right there in Saskatchewan with the Riders. There's no question. And I mean, that's Buddha's team, as you know. So,
yes. Yeah. Hey, Jeremy O'Day. yeah, if you're listening, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a package deal, though. You know, I yeah. can't go without you, and we'd yeah. have to room up again, maybe. You know, figure it out. But yeah, never say never. I am gonna go and work some training camp out there this year, and
yeah.
and that's
yeah.
gonna be a really exciting time for me, and just to get a feel for different things and stuff like that. But you know, after that, I'm really excited about working for Interior Health, and I'm excited about doing that. It's something I've always wanted to do.
Yeah, like this is sort of, you've have the proper training already for this. It's not something you've had to go and do, I don't think.
No, exactly. Yeah. And you know, always trying to follow different paths or trying to fulfill things. And I figured, well, I'm 50 and there's an opportunity. And when the phone call came, it just made for big discussion. And here we are. So.
Couple of players of the Blazer organization over the years. Angie McCurry.
Yeah. Mommy.
Yeah.
Mommy,
you kind of, she's kind of taking care of you, I think.
No, she's more than kind of taking care of me. She's yeah. amazing. Yeah. You know, she really runs the show. I always say, don't upset Angie. You might find yourself in the Thompson with some
like,
cement boots
like,
on.
She's, 100%.
She is so, the soprano yeah. female version for sure.
Pay your respects or else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know, and it's, Angie doesn't do it just for me. She does it for everybody. She is yeah. such a caring lady. She works really hard, very tireless, has a beautiful family. Her son, Vic, works with us downstairs and helps us out, and he's amazing too. And but you know, Angie really, really like helped with my children, helped with Tracy, like helps out my in-laws when they need it. Like she just constantly is giving, and she is amazing lady, and she is probably the one person that has made Kamloops Blazers uber special for me.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you said that. Another one, you were growing up when you arrived here, but I want to see, almost you kind of grew up together with Tim O'Donovan too, because
Absolutely.
He was a young guy that came in at, what, yeah. 20, not even 20, I don't
no,
think.
No, he was in grade 12
yeah.
when he came. So,
yeah.
You know, I remember it clear as day the first time I met him. It was at training camp, and we were just having a practice at the time at training camp, and Dean Clark, the GM at the time, mm-hmm. Brought Tim down and to introduce him to me. And right away, I knew this guy was special because he was wearing a Real Men Eat Wheat Saskatchewan Rough Rider hat. So right away, Tim and I were boys. But, yeah, you know, I was already growing up, had kids, and Tim was graduating, but we really came up through it together. He's a special person.
Good times too. And bad. Like
absolutely.
You know, right?
Yeah, we've gone through a lot here in 18 years in Kamloops, but Timmy is unbelievably intelligent. He's a really, really good person. And, you know, it's so cool to see how we've switch roles, you know, like when I came, I had the baby, we had the two young children, and him and Darcy helped us out a ton. And Tim actually, as you know, John, end up like I was the realtor to help get him his first home, which was right behind the Robinson house.
You shared a fence basically.
Like, yeah, we did. Yeah, totally. Yeah, like yeah. there was a lot of orange crushes, we'll call them, passed across the fence because the fence only goes up to about your nipple line. So,
yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't get a whole lot of cash back on that sale, but I just want to throw that out there. But, you know, they became, and they are still are, very, very special to my family. I mean, I went to Vegas for PHATS, and I was able to take Tracy with me, and we asked the kids, okay, like, we got to set up somebody to watch you, like, you know, grandma, grandpa, and right away, all three children were like, Tim and Darcy, Tim and Darcy. Yeah. And so, you know, they did that, and Tim taught the kids how to play Risk, and it's just, that's just the people they are. And now we've totally changed. And Tim and Darcy have a beautiful young family with Jack and Mar, and, you know, we try to do that. He left Golden Valley Estates and moved up to the big hills. Yeah, see, both of us put our hands up.
Looking down upon everybody.
He is a Sherpa up there. But, you know, so many times where Tim and I have really been there for each other throughout the time, where we've had to sit in the hotel lobby because we were the ones that sacrificed our hotel room so that everybody else could have a room while we wait for a room to be done and things like that. And we work together on planning the meals for the players and for the staff and whatnot. And lots of good Tim O'Donovan stories for sure. And he's always had my back and I've always had his. And, you know, it's Angie and Tim, both the people. And the way Tim is progressing, I think sky's the limit for him. I really hope one day he gets to run the whole show on his own because I think he'd be amazing at it.
You're a people person. This is a people team environment job. You end up spending a lot of time with people. There's a lot of camaraderie. And those that leave the game say that's what they miss the most. Have you thought about sort of this social circle you have, players included, and sort of losing that or maybe just not being able to replicate that going down the road?
Yeah, I have. I've thought about it. But I also think that that's my biggest strength as a human being, you know. So I think that I can bring that to my new position. And I just try to cheer people up. That's what I try to do. And obviously there's times where you can't do that in a sports environment and whatnot. But am I going to miss holding court in the training room? 100%. 100%. Am I going to miss doing trivia on the bus with the guys or telling a joke? 100%. Like, when I see, I'm not going to cry, John. I told you.
It wouldn't be the first time, Toledo.
For sure, for sure. And those are the things I thought about when I made this decision. But, you know, I don't want to say that we all have a shelf life because, I mean, I feel I could keep going for sure. But for me personally, I just need a change and I need a new challenge. Yeah. And so that's why. But, you know, it's funny because people say to me, like, oh, you're going to miss it. Well, no kidding. No kidding. Yeah. Like, that's all I've known. I've been with hockey teams since I was 10 years old, and I've grinded it out, and I've done it my whole life. And it's always been basically number one. And now it's time to sort of park it for a while and see what happens. And for me personally, like, the internal flame to move up to the NHL or the American Hockey League or any of that, it's just not there anymore. I have no regrets for that. I've had chances, but the WHL is my bread and butter and helping young men.
It is our NHL.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a great league.
Yeah, it's the best league in the world. We say it all the time and don't ever take it for granted. And, you know, helping young guys turn into men is what I think I was here for, and that's why things never turned out to go pro. And I have friends that are in pro and they like pro, but it's different. It's a different animal. And once that left my heart, then, you know, it was just keep doing what I'm doing, which I have done, and I've done it to the absolute full throttle as I can say, and it's just time.
Yeah, it's going to be a transition for sure for everybody, for myself, because I'll miss you for sure. You know, I know you'll miss a lot of things. You won't miss other things. We talk about the bus rides and things like that. But I just wanted to give you the final 30 seconds to a minute of our chat here, just to have the floor to say anything you want to say, thank you anybody you want to thank, and just go up, because I want this to be the reason I wanted to do this podcast with you, because A, we haven't done it before, B, you're moving on, but I also wanted this to be like a keepsake that you could listen back to, or your grandkids could listen back to. Like, here's what Grandpa Toledo did for 30 years of his life, and make it sort of an archive of of yourself and your journey in hockey. So people don't forget. So I want that to be available down the line. So if you want to wrap up with anything you want to say, stage is yours here, Toledo.
Stage is mine.
Yeah. Which you like the stage. You got into this. You got into that whole theater thing too.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, I want to thank people, obviously. Sitting here thinking about you're a tricky guy, John. You know, right from Fort McMurray where I started.
Yeah.
Fran Gao. He's a special guy. Then I had to make the tough decision to leave Fort McMurray and go to the BC Junior League, which was a great move for me and my career, where I met Mark Hollick and Rick Lanz, and I met my wife Tracy and yes. her family, and then from there it was to Swift, and you could just hear in my voice, it just everything changed right there. Like Swift Current is, I might retire there. Yeah. Honestly, like it is so special to me. Carol Beyer, Brenda Wall, yep. Todd McClellan, and Murray Konosky.
Yeah.
I can't even talk about him. That's how important he is to me. So, he was the hardest guy to leave ever. He's basically my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So, then off to Vancouver. Good move. Vancouver was what an experience. Move to be closer to family. We had more support with the young children, and had Dave and Betty there. And, you know, Scott Bonner, Ron Toigo. What an experience as a trainer to start an organization from the ground up.
Yeah.
What an experience. And talk about hard times. That was hard times. That was a hard, hard job. But great people in Vancouver. Like I said, Scott Bonner, Craig Bonner, Dean Evison, Mark Ferner. The list goes on and on. Dale Sipe was really, really important person to me and my family there. Did so much. Thank you, Dale. You know, but Vancouver is really expensive. So we took a chance, and I thought I was done training then. That's the truth. I was tired of doing the job at that point in my life, and I had a lot of people pushing for me to stay in the game. But I wanted to be paid better, obviously. I wanted to put my family first and all those kinds of things, and had some different opportunities. Almost ended up back with you and Swift Current at that time.
That's right.
Dean Chenoweth and yourself, and we had a lot of good talks. And, you know, Kamloops came, and boy, I tell you, coming here has just been... unbelievable.
Yeah.
The Blazer board of directors at that time, Case Van Diemen, Murray Owen, Norm Daly was on there.
That's right.
Dean Clark. I wouldn't have ever been a Blazer if it wasn't for Dean Clark and Mark Ferner. They really recruited me, and they really stepped up and said, if you come here, you might never leave. And here I am still today. Wow. So, yeah. You know, Kamloops is so special because Kamloops is Swift Current with a bigger, mm-hmm. bigger population.
Longer drives, longer commutes.
But the people here are amazing. Mm-hmm. And I was scared shitless coming here, John, coming here to, you know, take over, if that's the right word, or to step in for Spike Wallace. Like, man, you know, I don't know if I could do that. And Spike and I had a long phone call, and you know, Spike is a real special guy. It meant so much to me in my career before coming here to replace him. And he said, Let's see if I can get my Spike impersonation going here.
It might be tough.
He said, Toledo, nothing would make me happier than your chubby little ass in this dressing room. And he said, you know, the boys would be in great hands, and that's all I want. And I came, and he just embraced me and made it home. And like I say, from there, Kamloops people are special. And that's why, you know, we're not moving from Kamloops. We're Kamloopsians. And I really, really look forward to, you know, helping Kamloopsians in a time of need at Interior Health. And in some ways, give back to the community as much as they've given to me and my family. So thank you, Kamloops. And in the Blazer organization, there's Angie, there's been yourself, there's Timmy. And I'm having a blank right now, but the gentleman, and you can help me out because I want to say thank you to him. He's the off-ice official, and we're both huge Dodger fans. And he
Dan Conroy.
Dan Conroy, yes, and I do know him well enough to. It's just a lot going through my head.
A lot's going on right now.
But you know, this guy's an awesome dude, and he always brings me Dodger gifts, and I've never asked for one, and he just does, and it's just things like that, you know. So at Current, you get sacks of meat, and in Kamloops, you get Dodger hats, and just people like that, and you know, it'd be wrong to not thank the Blazer Booster Club, you know, that
very right, supportive people.
Yeah, right from day one when I came and I went to my first sort of meet the Booster Club, they were cheering and whatnot, and they took me in too, you know, and so this, shout out to all the people that do that, and you know, all the different coaches, but Cluey. He really made the last blast. Not all I'm going to say there because I don't think I can say much more, but having Hazer here as an assistant coach has been cool.
Full circle almost, right?
Full circle.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to thank so many players, but we'd be here forever, forever.
Well, it's been great that many have reached out and you know, you've touched base too the last few weeks.
No, 100%. And, you know, it's a Blazer podcast, so I'll just say a few names, but starting Swift Current, Brad Larson, Jeff Kerwin, Jeremy Rondeau, Chad Beagle, and Nathan Smith, Ben Andres, those guys, you know, and all the guys, but those guys stand out. Vancouver Giants, first ever captain, Nick Marach, Jeff Coulter, Kevin Seibel.
Swift Kern Angle on
Swift
that.
Swift Kern Angle, yeah. I worked with Kevin for years and years in Swift Current, getting him ready for the WHL. You know, Gilbert Brule, Mark Fistrick was somebody I was really close with, and super close with Tristan Grant. And Kamloops, you know, it's been well documented many times. Connor Zari, every place there's a guy that's just a little bit more unique, I guess would be the right word. But Zari, I'm so proud of you for what you're doing, because when you were young, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, fair to say.
Yeah, but you know, Brennan Ranford, Colin Smith, J.C. LaPon, even going back, Ryan Bender, Brock Nixon, you know, and more recent, obviously, Stan Coven. It was amazing to have Caden Bankier here. I don't know how many people know that Caden basically grew up with my best friends, Kevin and Karsha, and I've known him since he was four. So to have him and his family and the Blazer family was a real special time. And, you know, when you think of this year, it's, you know, Billy, right? Logan Barros.
Yep. Special.
Yeah, special. That's the best way to put it. And He's a guy that I'll forever be in touch with for sure. But to all the players that I ever worked with, just thank you. Thank you. Thank you to the coaches. It'd be wrong to not thank Richard Dirksen. Sure. Him and I kind of became friends, not kind of, we are friends. He had to suspend me once, but that's a whole nother podcast.
But lots of, like, the Anaheim trips, the U.S. prospects.
Yeah, the prospects trips, games, yeah. The All-Star games, all those things. Last year with the Memorial Cup, we had to do a lot of stuff together. And he's just a special man, and I just wish him all the best and thank him so much. And, you know, and thank you, John. You know, we've cried on each other a lot, and I just know that I'm a better person today for people like you and Timmy in my life, and you're still in my life, so no need to cry.
We're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You're not going
Toledo
anywhere.
Doesn't have cancer. Everybody calm down.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the best way I could wrap it up, you know. I guess... All I really can say is thank you. Thank you, Western Hockey League. Thank you to all the trainers. I've worked with so many great trainers, and they've always had my back. I've always had theirs.
It's a brotherhood.
It is a brotherhood. It's a really unique brotherhood, and I think it's amazing that, you know, it's expanding into female trainers now as well. And, you know, the Blazers are in great hands with Rebecca. She's very talented, as I said before, and I know that everybody's replaceable, John, and every, you know, there'll be another guy looking after the edges and stuff like that. They might not have as good of jokes as me, which is fine.
They might not be able to, like, pick the best restaurant and the best appetizer off the menu.
No, they won't be able to sell it to everybody.
That's
as well.
Right.
That's for sure. You know, and I just look forward, and I wish the Blazers all the best. And I'm so thankful to the ownership group, Tom Gilardi and Shane Doan and the crew, you know, all of them, Daryl Sador. I'm thankful for what they've done for me and for my family. And there's always a saying, you know, once a Blazer, always a Blazer. And that's true, and I feel that way. And I feel the love. And I hope that I guess what I'm trying to say is for what everybody in this town and community has given me, I hope I've given back some as well, because Kamloops is home. It will always be home. My three kids graduated here, and, you know, wife and I are really involved in the community, and we're trying to help out less fortunate children, and I'm just so proud of her for what she does and for bringing me into that side of it. Because I think at the end of the day, if you a Robinson or a Toledo or the Toledos, we just care, and we're just try to be good people. And, you know, thank you so much to everybody. And you know, it's on to the next, and I'm excited about that. And I look forward to coming to a game or two. Probably take me till November, December to actually do that. Because it'll be rider country till then. But I love the game of hockey. I'm so thankful for what it's provided for me and the family. And boy, there's been good times and there's been hard times. But in the words of Ed Whalen, in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of Toledo, I guess.
that's a pretty good way to wrap it. Thank you. I think we've said it all in this podcast, and I appreciate you popping on, and I think maybe you appreciate giving a chance to say some thank yous as well. So don't be a stranger. You know, it's not goodbye. It's we'll see you later. So, best of luck to you, and we'll be in touch.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Okay, deep dive there with Toledo. And if you're hearing this on Radio 1L, you just heard the shortened version for our time today. If you're looking for the full version, that's online, Blaze, our podcast, wherever you subscribe to your podcasts online, you can hear the entire interview. let's shift gears. Prospect Corner now for Mastodon Equipment, Sheldon Ladowski. A Mastodon Equipment Repair, your mobile servicing repair specialist. They can come up with a preventative maintenance program for all your equipment, aerial work platform inspections, pre-purchase inspections, and emergency repairs. They got you covered. Go big. Go with Mastodon. And we'll see more prospects here in Blazer colors. Look for Ty Bunkowski, 15-year-old, 2008, with the Burnaby Winter Club, U18. Not sure of his timeline, but sounds like he will join the team here. Logan Edmonstone, the rest of the way. Great debut. He'll be with the team the rest of the season. Again, goaltender Dylan Ernst remains out with a lower body injury. So for the time being, the tandem is Jesse Sonch and Logan Edmonstone. We hope to see Hudson Claussen here soon. With the suspension that ruined his WHL debut in Kelowna, but we hope to have him here coming up before the season's through. There's six Blazer prospects right now. Right now, the center of the scouting world's in Penticton for the U18 CSSHL Championship Series. Landon DuPont is playing, turning heads, the 15-year-old, who is in the running for exceptional status for next season to play full-time in the WHL at 15, a defenseman. Hearing rave reviews about him down in Penticton. Of course, you look at Kamloops and Tri-City right now, these two teams in the bottom of the overall standings. Tri-City has their first pick, though. So they have a little bit more incentive to finish last place overall. And they've lost six in a row and lost 9 of 10. And they've had all sorts of injuries to all their players. So, like it or not, they've been tanking a little bit. And if you finish last overall, you have a 57% chance of getting the first overall pick in the lottery. Blazers, of course, do not have their first-round pick. So there's no incentive to finish last or in a lottery scenario. So we'll see these prospects come in, hopefully make an impact, hopefully get us excited for the seasons ahead. That is Prospect Corner, Mastodon Equipment and Repair. Okay, buying and selling time for Kyle Panasek, Westwind Royal LePage Realty, Kamloops, 250-819-9332. He has all of his listings online, kylepanasek.com. Saw him in the grocery store this week. He's excited for golf season. And, yeah, we'll see him out there in no time. Kyle Panasek, Westwind Royal LePage Realty. Let's do some buys off the top. We'll buy,
buy.
Toledo. Boy, that was a lengthy interview and an emotional one for sure. It shows how much he cares about, you know, the league, the Blazers, his family. So if you skip past that interview, you might want to press the rewind button to about 20 minutes ago. And buying this spring-like weather here. Yeah, you know what?
Bye, bye, bye.
To be honest with you, the Blazers have gone toe-to-toe from September to June the last 2 years. It makes for a short off season for the players returning, for the coaching staff, and you know, even for the radio guy. We've missed out a little bit on that off season, although of course we traded for what happened the last couple of years, getting all the way to the Memorial Cup as the host and playing out that sequence. And yeah, but you know what? It's going to be a bit of a nice break, and this weather is also turning in our favor. Golf has started up. It's just a great time to be alive. I'm going to do this. I'm going to buy our three 20-year-olds who will graduate. And this is one of the last few chances we have to talk about these three. So first off, Blake Swetlikoff comes in here after being moved from a team that has aspirations of a playoff run in Lethbridge. That can be a tough transition to go to a team where, you know, their destiny isn't perhaps playoffs and they're thinking about the next season and they make a trade for the future. But Blake's come in and he's been great about it. He's been a good leader. He's had some great games. He's mature and he wants to keep chasing this hockey thing. So best of luck to him. Ashton Furster, what a second half he has had. And what a season, really. Like, you know, I don't think Ashton Furster thought that he would maybe even be here this year with the potential returning 20-year-old class. But Pro Hockey took Kyle Masters. Pro Hockey took Caden Bankier. Pro Hockey took Matthew Semenov.
Those were potentially three returnees. Of course, we knew Logan Stankoven would be gone. We knew that Olin Zellweger would be gone. But I think when you look at, you know, all the do the math of who's back, who's not, I don't think Ashton maybe felt that he was going to be a Blazer this year. He's come in. He's been a great leader for this team. He's quiet, but he has that internal fire that burns, and he's a man, and we want to wish him the best. He has some options moving forward. And Logan Barrows, yeah. Billy, if you heard Toledo talk about Logan in our interview, just said he's special, and he is. And he's been here since 17. Again, another player and a human that has a very the sky's the limit for this guy. Smart, intelligent, kind, compassionate, wise beyond his years. Sounds like he'll maybe even chase like a law degree at some point while playing hockey. And we want to wish, of course, all our three 20-year-olds the best. With that said, let's sell some things. Hey, I'm selling. And again, these are out of hockey sell jobs, but they're important. I'm selling.
Sell, sell, sell.
Gas prices in Kamloops. You know, we might as well have a sign where you enter the city. And that sign says, welcome to Kamloops, tournament capital of Canada, and the highest gas prices east of the lower mainland. That can be the new claim to fame, because for whatever reason, our prices at the stations are the highest in the area. Like, you go down that Highway 97 and Vernon's way cheaper. Kelowna, I thought, was cheaper the other day. And it sounds like all the prices are going up again, just in time for spring and summer and road trips. So I'm selling the highest gas prices east of the lower mainland. Hey, I'm selling this.
Sell, sell, sell.
I had a problem with the downstairs toilet. It's called a flush valve. It was malfunctioning. So I said, okay, I can handle this. I'll go out and change. It's the part's like $30. I'll just shut the water off. I'll change it. Yeah, no big deal. So I ended up buying the wrong part. I have a 3-inch diameter hole, and the flush valve I got was 2.5. So that was my first mistake. So I put it all together. I go, this does not quite seem right. Looks like there's some gaps here. I got busy with the hockey schedules. I got two games this weekend. So I thought, okay, I'll just call a plumber, and you know, they can bring the right part over and they can finish the job. It'll be $100 probably, something like that. 100, 150. No big deal. Whatever. I don't need to put it all together myself and have a leak and start again. It's an easy job. I just didn't have the time for it. So I call over a plumbing company. They come in. And first of all, they want to do an inspection of, like, all your plumbing around the house.
Sell, sell, sell.
Free of charge. Yeah, no big deal. They'll just go in and they'll take a look. And I'm just like, I just need the flapper fixed. I need the flapper. That's all I want, the flapper fixed. And then we can all get on our way here. And goes for a tour of the house, checks everything out, takes a look at the toilet, and it's like, oh, this isn't good news. And I'm like, what? What's not good news? It's, you just need a 3-inch diameter flush valve, and you just put it, whip it together. It's done. Oh no, we got bigger problems. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I said, like, I got to go. Call me back, or you know, hotmail me an invoice or something. Just get the job done. He's like, well, we won't do any work until you approve it. I'm like, okay, well, thank you for that. I'll take a look at the thing. So I get like an estimate, like an hour later after the whole inspection. It's like, yeah, we got to rebuild the tank here. We got to rebuild the whole tank job from the bottom, from the ground up. I was like, what? And you need a new pressure sensor valve. I was like, okay. How much? With taxes, everything, it's going to be about $1,100. $1,100 for a flapper? Come on. So I was like, yeah, no, I'm good. Appreciate what you're trying to do. I understand, but not me, not this guy. So anyways, didn't go through with the work, but next day, actually after the weekend, I got my 3-inch flush valve and did the work myself. So far, so good. No leaks, no damages. It's buying and selling for Kyle Panasuk, Westwind Royal LePage, Realty Kamloops.
You've got mail.
It's fan mail for the Mattress King, YPay Retail. The Mattress King, 421 Mount Paul Way, across from Rona. Hello to Aaron. And this week, We had some golf passes courtesy of River Shore to give away, so we thought let's tie it into our fan mail segment. Everybody that dropped a comment or a question this week, and there was plenty. Check your DMs, look for a reply. We'll give away two sets of two. So thanks to River Shore again. Let's get into fan mail. Steve Taylor at All About Puck says, what's your favorite hole at River Shore? He says, his is a toss-up between 11 and 19. Well, everybody loves the 19th out there. That's a great spot to post up post-round. Favorite hole? Oh, boy, that's tough. You know, let me see. What do I like? What is my favorite hole? It might be, it's probably, I don't mind 18. I mean, 18 is a gettable par 5. I always seem to screw it up, though. I'm like, oh, yeah, birdie opportunity here. Then I write down like a 7. But 11 is fun. That par 3 with the water on the left. 10 is fun but tricky, right, with the tee shot. And you have to hug the left side of the water so you can have a decent approach in on the par 4. Yeah. But, yeah, 19th hole. No debating that, Steve. Steve at the Slice. The Slice Steve, and he says, does Emmett Finney have the tools? He says, the size, playmaking, and the grit to earn a job in the NHL? He goes, I know he's not breaking any points or scoring records, but a lot of those players that score a lot in junior don't translate to the show. I would say, Steven, you know what? Really, next year is a really big year for Emmett Finney. He's coming on. He's playing with more bite. I think he's had a great second half. And, you know, he's growing into his frame. He's just 18, remember. So he has another whole year and change here to keep developing his game. You know, he's smart. He has a lot of tools other players don't. But, you know, he's going to obviously have to get a little bit thicker. He's got a big lanky frame, actually, that bodes well. He's come a long way as well. 7th-round pick, keep in mind. So ask me that question next year, Stephen. At Jesse Phil, Jesse Phillips goes, with teams locking in their postseason fates soon, do you think PG has what it takes to make a run to the finals? And is that what the doctor ordered for the fans up there? Well, of course, a championship run just completely captures your fan base for years to come. You can really ride something like that for a while. Do they have what it takes? You know what? I heard an interview that Regan Bartel had with Bruce Hamilton. He was breaking down the three top teams on our side. And I think he really broke it down effectively. He goes, Everett, hardworking team, workmanlike, extremely well coached. He goes, Portland, they're on a different level. They get up and go all game long, very deep, and really hard to play against. And the third one is Prince George. He says, probably the most talented team of the three. With the most talent. Now they have to find a way. And the biggest thing, I think, will just be a bit of a war of attrition in the playoffs. That's a lot of travel. Like, if they match up with Spokane in round one, you want to take care of business and not extend that series. You want to stay healthy. Every team has to stay healthy. It's not often the best talented team that wins. It's the team that avoids the devastating injury or the getting down to 5 defensemen. Because it can be a grind. In the WHL, we beat each other up in the series. And the travel. It's going to be the team that, you know, stays healthy. PG, I guess the only thing is they haven't done it yet. I mean, they're not proven. I mean, they won a playoff series last year, which probably helps big time into this year. But that'll be interesting to watch. And I'll have... You know, I'll be checking in on WHL Live a lot. Justin, Road Trip Beers, way too late of a question for the week. He goes, Toporowski's on the move to Minnesota system last week. How is he doing? And how's the trade going to affect RX Blazer? It's a great trade, Justin, for Luke Toporowski. Minnesota's AHL farm team is in Iowa. That is Luke Toporowski's home state. He's from Bettendorf, Iowa. He's near Spokane, where he has family. He's near home, and in his Instagram, he said, I'm coming home. So I think this is all good news for Luke Toporowski, big time. Rob Fryer at Rob Fryer 72, who is in your top 3 WHL announcers of all time? You know, it's funny. A couple weeks back, there was this Instagram account, and they put up, it's a WHL discussion page of some sort, and I got tagged in something. So I was like, oh, what did I get tagged in? I took a look at it, and it was, who's the best WHL broadcaster? And they put up six broadcasters, which probably they should probably put up like 12 or 14, but room for six. Of these six, I was thinking, you know what? Every one of these broadcasters, and I was included in it, every one of these broadcasters does something well. And if I went through them all, of the six, I'm trying to remember who was on there. Regan Bartel was one of them. I wish I had a voice like Regan. I wish I had a voice. Brad Curl was on there. Calgary Hitman, top notch. I wish I had Brad's flow. I wish I had his game flow because it's the best. Who else? Dustin Forbes was on there. I wish I had Dustin's somewhat neutrality and excitement for both teams when I call the game. Casey Bryant was on there. Edward Silvertips. I wish I had the wit that Casey has. He's a smart guy. Like, he's got that wit to him, and he says some really sort of tongue-in-cheek things during a game that I really like. Who else? Les Lazarek. I wish I had the longevity of a Les Lazarek, for sure. Was that it? I think that might have been six on there. So I think every broadcaster in each market does something better than anyone else. It's just a matter of what is that something. But that's a good question. Rob, to answer it, I don't really know, but I just thought I'd send a shout out to, it's funny, my Stacy's daughters thought that was the coolest thing, that I was on Instagram on this poll. So they were like out there like voting for me or leaving a comment, and they thought that was really cool. So anyways, good question, Rob. Maybe I'll chat with you at one of the games one night. Okay, goalie for beer at C. Ledowski 94. Here's a question with the theme of the giveaway. What Blazer in your time covering the team has been the best golfer or one of the best or one of the least likely to throw a wager on at the course? Last summer played a round with a couple of rounds with Dylan Garand. We mentioned on the show last week. His handicap's probably down to like a four, so he is coming along. Luke Toporowski's a player too, big time. Connor Ingram has some game. Haven't played with him in a couple of years, but yeah, I guess probably. And we were playing for something that day too with Dylan Garand. I'll say him at least. He's putting a lot of work into it. He's in the simulator, so he's coming back to Kamloops here. Going for it for sure. Warm up the bus. How come the 6 p.m. starts are on Saturdays? Wouldn't it make more sense to have those games during the week, with the majority of people having to wake up early for work? It's not about the waking up part midweek. It's about getting to the game after work on a weekday. That's why, like, Vancouver goes to 7:30 games on, like, a Friday night. You think of it. Most people get off around 5, got to go home, maybe have dinner, pick up your kids, take care of the house. So that's a real tight timeline to do a 6 o'clock game in the middle of the week. 6 o'clock on Saturday seems to work. There isn't that time crunch. I don't think that 6 p.m. slot on Saturdays is going away anytime soon. But I don't think warm up the bus that we'll see any of that in the middle of the week. What else we got? Tara Holmes weighed in. She goes, I was actually just thinking about something specific this season for the Blazers. She goes, I am pleasantly surprised by the fans this year. 100% Tara. She goes, I wondered if, after losing some popular big names from last year, if it would affect the support. But wow, the fans have stuck it out all year. Great point. Can't talk about this enough. Blazer fans have been excellent with this transition this year. So thanks for pointing that out, Tara. Boy, you know what? I hope to get to more questions next week. We're short on time this week because we went lengthy with Toledo. But I'm going to save some of these questions. We got one from Ian Murner, Tyler Lowy, Brotherhood of Blazer goaltenders named Dylan. We got lots that we'll try to get to next week. That's fan mail for the Mattress King. Okay, closing remarks, Pleasure Pools Plus. Check out their massive inventory of Cal H2O Sundance Spas, hot tub repairs, service, and advice. Talk to Len or Sari or the entire staff today. Lengthy show today, especially if you're listening online to our podcast part of the show. Toledo, Thanks for that chat, Toledo. I hope it was a chance for you to say some things, thank some people, look back, and have something to sort of look back with, you know, on your time in the WHL. Final five games here of the season ahead. I want the team to finish strong here. Be competitive. Like, stay in games. Show some jam, some compete the rest of the way. A lot of these teams are the opposition are playing for some big things. They mentioned, you know, Vancouver trying to get home ice advantage. PG trying to get first overall and avoid a 2-3 matchup in round two. Want to thank everybody for great feedback, comments, and questions. We have the two sets of Rivershore golf passes. We'll award those on Twitter. So if you played along, watch for a reply, watch for a DM, and thanks for your feedback as always. Home ice Saturday night against the Vancouver Giants. 6 o'clock faceoff. We'll see you at the rink then. Folks, have a great weekend, everybody. Episode 25 of The Blaze for Rivershore Golf Links.